Well, good morning again. Thank you, Nigel and Emma, for worship. We do appreciate that. And we are going to continue to pray for you guys for all your needs and the things that concern you, they concern us. So we trust that God will bless you. And before we start our message today, let's join in prayer that God will continue to bless us as individuals and as a church, and that he would meet richly the needs of his people. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you, Father God, yet again, that we have so much to be thankful for. And we give you thanks, Lord, for the good things. We give you thanks for the challenging things. We thank you, Father God, in all circumstances, that, Father God, that we know that we have a hope, and our hope was in you. That, Father God, when you raised your son Jesus from the dead, Father God, you gave us, your people, hope of an eternal resurrection with you. So, Father God, we pray this morning that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just to say, continue to pray one for another. Prayer works. And also, just to say before I get into today, this morning's message, that yes, it's when I look at things, I think it's good to be challenged, to be stretched. Because when we're stretched and challenged, it helps us to grow, doesn't it? Yes, it does. It might be painful at times, but it does help us to grow, and it helps us to see clearly and to hear and to understand what God's word is saying to us and about us and on behalf of us. And it's encouraging that even in these days of what we call lockdown, new terms, that we are still free, aren't we? We are still free to pray and to praise and to encourage and to be encouraged. And even though we may be confined to our homes more than we would like to be, we still have opportunity to build foundations, don't we? Within our own lives, to be encouraged in our own lives, to be challenged in our own lives, to maybe start some new ventures of our own, to maybe start some things that we've always wanted to start, and to stop some of the things that we've always wanted to stop. I've just written one or two things down today, other than the scriptures that I want to portray to us. Sunday, the 31st, 2021. Where has the time gone? Susan and I, we always reflect when we sit down to our evening meal together. We say to each other, well, that's another day. Where did that go? Are you the same? Time flies. Time flies. Time is precious, isn't it? And we need to use it wisely. Well, today I have two questions for us. Are you ready? Yes, good. Question one, how good is your eyesight? Don't answer yet. Question two, who are you following? So how good is your eyesight and who are you following? Now, I just want to clarify before I start this message what I mean by eyesight. Let's just read. Scripture tells us that some people who say they can see are blind. Scripture tells us that some people who think they are blind can see. Intrigued? It's important to evaluate the people and the information that shape our lives. We're living in a time where we are bombarded from all directions, aren't we? In today's climate, information comes from all directions. So it's important for us to see clearly. It's important to us to be wise in who we follow. So, start of this message, then two questions. How good's your eyesight and who are you following? I want to read one or two scriptures to us, and I hope that God will speak to you. I hope that God will bless you. My heart is that you will be blessed, and I will be blessed, that we will be blessed, but we will also be challenged and we'll be encouraged to grow and to be strengthened, because the more we know about God, the more informed that we are, the more opportunities we have to speak truth to other people. And I want to start with a scripture in Matthew 15. And when I was yet again on my prayer walk in the mornings, I quoted this scripture: the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. And I started to build a message around that. In Matthew 15, in verse 14, it says, leave them, they are blind guides. leave them, they are blind guides. And if you take the time to read this portion of scripture, it's talking about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. It's talking about what they do and what they don't do. It's talking about how they take the traditions of man and they give them and they elevate human traditions and they put them on a level pathway with the law of God. And Jesus is talking very harshly to them. In verse 7 of Matthew 15, he says, "You hypocrites, you two-faced people, you're hypocritical." And when you look at this portion of scripture, Jesus isn't saying the things that you teach are wrong. He is saying you're hypocritical. You tell other people to do them, but you don't do them yourselves. You're being two-faced. He says, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So it's not just about what we speak. It's about what's inside of us, isn't it? That's the challenge for us today. "They worship me in vain. Their teachers are merely human rules." And some human rules are good for us, but we know that God's laws are best for us. And so we go back to that portion of scripture in 15 verse 14. "Leave them, they are blind guides." Now a guide is someone who leads you, isn't it? They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. There's a great understanding that we can gain from this, isn't there? There's a lot of understanding, should I say, that we can gain from this. That we need to be led by people who have their eyes open so that they can see the dangers ahead. That's why I asked the question. We need to be careful on who it is we actually follow. We need to be careful about who it is we listen to. We need to be careful, I believe, the books that we read, the influencers that influence us, the news reporters that speak on our behalf. We need to discern everything that we hear, whether it's natural or spiritual or political. Maybe it's a friend or a foe. We need to be a people to be truly blessed and have our eyes open so that we know who it is we are following. We need to discern these things. So if a blind guide leads a blind person, they will both fall into a pit. And that's not a good thing, is it? So I don't want anyone to fall into a pit. I want you to be led by people, led by someone who has their eyes open. So who are you following? That's a question that only you can answer. In Matthew 9, verse 18, "While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, 'My daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her,' he said." Jesus was already speaking about wineskins, new wine and old wine. And he says, in other words, that this portion of scripture is saying before that statement, Jesus is saying, "I've not come to repair the old, but I've come to bring something new." And then we get to this portion of scripture here where a synagogue leader, or some versions say a synagogue ruler, or leader was someone who was responsible for the day-to-day running of the synagogue. He was the one that would make sure that the right teacher was there to teach on the Sabbath. He was there to make sure there was enough mats, there was enough of everything that they needed. He was an influential person. But I like to focus on the small things that we can so easily miss if we don't look. That's why I'm saying we need eyes to see. It says this. While he was saying this, talking about the old and the new, the wine and the wineskins, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died." He made a statement. She's dead. She has just died. "But come and put your hand on her and she will live." And when I read that, and I've read this portion of scripture many, many times over the years since I've been a Christian. for some 30 years. I've read this time and time and time again. And what drew my attention today, for today, was this, the word will. Lay your hand on her and she will live. She will live. Jesus got up and went with him. So did his disciples. Just then, as he was on the way, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. We've read this scripture many, many times, haven't we? I'm sure you've heard sermon after sermon on this scripture. Came up behind him, Jesus, and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. What I want to say at this point is this. Do you think that these two people that we read about here, the synagogue ruler, the synagogue leader, and the woman with the issue of blood, do you think they saw something different? There was a multitude around Jesus. In both cases, there was a multitude around him. It speaks of a larger crowd around Jesus when the woman was there. But this is all in the same passage. So there was a throng, there was a multitude. Do you think these two people saw something that others didn't see? And I want to suggest to you, when they was looking, they weren't looking with their natural eyes. They saw something spiritually that others didn't see. When God said to his people, "Go and spy out the land," this is what God said. "Send 12 leaders, one from each tribe, to go and spy the land in which I will give you." Do you hear that? "In which I will give you. Not that I might give you according to how well you achieve, according to your ability, that I will give you if you think you are strong enough, that you might have, maybe, if you see what I see, you can accomplish what I think you can accomplish." No, he said, "Go and spy out the land in which I will." I will. God could see the present and the future. And it's the same for me and you. God has given us natural sight and spiritual sight. So when we say, "How good is our eyesight?" Some of us, if you're like me and Jill, we'll go, "Well, we can't see very well, naturally, but we can see spiritually." It's the same for you. How good is your eyesight? Jesus turned and he saw her, but she saw something within him. And that's the challenge for me and you. When we look, do we see? So we may be in a crowd of many people, but God can still give us spiritual eyesight. Things that, which have you ever used the term, I know I have, "Do not judge a book by its cover." So when you look at the cover of a book, you see what's in front of you. That saying says, "Do not judge the book by the outward appearance." How many of you have an old Bible? I've still got my first Bible somewhere. And it's tatty and it's torn and it's worn. But the truth and the revelation inside is still as fresh and powerful as it was the first day I bought it. Do not judge a book by its cover. When you see people, they may look ragged and rough on the outside, but on the inside, there's a discernment, there's a holiness, there's a purity. So for me and you, our message today, the message today that I believe that I want to portray to you, and I believe the Spirit of God wants to instill in us, is that he wants us to have spiritual eyes so that we can see the things that he's showing us. In Matthew 20, verse 29, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. So here we have, every time Jesus went somewhere, there were people who came after him. Some people just wanted to be fed naturally. Some people wanted to be fed spiritually. Some people wanted to be healed naturally. Some people wanted to be healed spiritually or supernaturally. But listen to this. Verse 30, two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They'd already seen something in Jesus. They were blind naturally, but they'd already seen something within Jesus. Son of David, they'd recognized his royal descent. They shouted, "Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd, those around him, rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Not only was he of royal descent, he was being called Lord. Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. They had eyes to see and ears to hear, and they chose to follow Christ. So the question that I asked at the beginning of this message was, how good is your eyesight and who is it that you're following? In Matthew 23, verse 16, there's seven woes in this portion of scripture. I won't read all of them, but in verse 16 it says this, "Woe," and woe is not a good thing, is it? "Woe to you blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold on the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools. Which is greater, the gold on the temple? That makes the gold, or the temple that makes the gold sacred?" Jesus is alluding to their attitude here. He's alluding to the Pharisees elevating traditions. And he calls them blind fools. Blind fools. Now, we can assume that these individual men here could see naturally. So why was God calling them blind? Because they couldn't see the things of God. Jesus was challenging them. He was challenging them by saying, "You say you can see, yet you are blind. You say that you are wise, but you are fools, because you take a man's tradition and not God's law." They're blind fools. How good is your eyesight? In Matthew 23, verse 24, "You blind guides," Jesus said. And using that, those two words again, blind and guides. A guide is someone that leads. "You blind leaders." The Pharisees were leaders. They would lead other people. They would lead other people who would, together, they would fall into a pit. God has challenged you and I to be part of a body which he is the head of. Yes? His church is a body where each of us has a function, but he is the head. A guide is someone who leads. Who's leading you? Who is it that you're listening to, and who are you following? My challenge today is that we will listen to the voice of God and we will follow in the footsteps of Christ. "You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." A gnat was an unclean, one of the smallest unclean, and the camel, I guess, was one of the largest. And Jesus was being poetic here, wasn't he? He said, "Listen, you take a lot of time and trouble and effort to strain out the smallest of unclean. And yet when it comes to the big things, you swallow them, you don't see them." In verse 26, "Blind Pharisee. First clean the outside of the cup and the dish, and then the inside will be clean also. Woe to you, teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs." This is what it means, he explains. You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of bones of the dead, or dead men's bones. Jesus is saying here, and he's quite harsh to these teachers. He said, "You look good, you sound good, but your motives are evil." How good is your eyesight? I want us to be challenged today to look at our spiritual sight, to look at our natural sight. Are there times where you see something in the natural and you think, this person is X, Y, Z, and you don't ask God about it, or you see something and you think it doesn't look very tasty, so I'm not even going to try to eat it. It's the same when it comes to scripture. There's a lot of passages in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that don't look very appetizing. But God wants us to look and see and taste that all scripture is useful and beneficial to us, to eat everything that he presents before us, to follow his lead. And although I asked the question, I'm also giving the answer that how good is our eyesight? Our eyesight is only as good as the revelation that we receive from God's word. Who are we following? Well, we need to follow Christ. So, question and answer. In Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And this is Jesus speaking. In the New Testament, he's quoting Isaiah, in Isaiah 61. He's quoting a portion of scripture here. So when we talk about being able to see and being blind, we need to understand what the Bible actually does say about sight and blindness. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus says, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, the poor aren't just people who have no money. The poor are those that haven't heard about the salvation that's found in Christ. They haven't heard the good news of the gospel. They've been blinded to it. He goes on, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, not just natural prisoners that are locked up, but those that are prisoners to sin, who can be set free through salvation. So we need to see what scripture says. The recovery of sight for the blind. Now, do you think that this is just saying that Jesus has come to bring prosperity and fullness to people who are just poor, but he doesn't care about the rich? That's not what it's saying. Do you think that Jesus has only come to restore the sight of those that are naturally blind, and he doesn't care about those that can naturally see? No, it doesn't say that. And we read these scriptures, don't we? But when we look through scripture, when we look through the Old and the New Testament, and we look about what it says about being blind and see, there's a lot of contradictions. But when we actually know and understand afresh, and I know that there's times that I'm preaching to the converted, and many of you already know this, but it's good to be reminded that when we take the time to look through what God is saying, we will see clearly the revelation. And so when we read this portion of scripture, right? When he talks about the good news, that's the gospel. When he talks about sharing it with the poor, those that's not heard it yet. When he's to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, those that are bound up in their sin. The recovery of the sight for the blind, those that spiritually can't see. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And in Isaiah, the year of the Lord's favour in the Old Testament was the year of Jubilee, the seventh year where debts were cancelled. Debts were cancelled. So Jesus is saying, I've come to proclaim good news to those that can't see, to those that don't have money to buy. It's a free gift. I've come to cancel your debts, to cancel your sins. Because, you know, when we talk about good news, we talk about the Bible, we talk about the gospel, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is life, and life in all its fullness. That's the good news. How good is your eyesight? So we have something to celebrate, don't we, as Christians? As much as we can be challenged by God's word, we can be inspired by God's word. We can also be encouraged. That word encouraged is a good word, isn't it? I want to encourage you to encourage someone else today. When you look at your family member, your child, your children, you look at the world around us, to see with our natural eyes the beauty and wonder of this world, but also to see with our spiritual eyes the natural beauty and wonder, and to discern the hurt and the disappointment, so you and I can proclaim this good news to people that can't see. We can help to unstop and to set them free. Amen. Amen. That's why I want to encourage us today. That's why I ask the question, how good's your eyesight? In Romans 11, verse 8, as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor. We're talking about false teachers now. We're talking about Paul understands what it is when people try and live their lives their way and not God's way. When they take God's truth and they manipulate it, when they take God's gift of grace and they put conditions upon it so that they tie people up and they say, you have to earn your salvation. And Paul knows. He's had that revelation that salvation is a free gift. Paul had his eyes open, didn't he? He was blinded to what God wanted when he persecuted the way. But he was blinded physically so that he could see spiritually. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear to this very day. It doesn't mean that they were blinded naturally and they were made deaf naturally. It meant spiritually they couldn't see. They couldn't see. They're ever seeing but never perceiving. That's why Jesus said, I speak in parables. Those that have ears to hear will hear. Those that have eyes to see will see. But there were people, and there are people around today that, although they can see, although they can hear, and although they can speak, they are individuals that we shouldn't listen to and we shouldn't follow. Why? Because they have been given a spirit of stupor, that they are hypocrites. So our challenge today is to be encouraged by God's word. Our challenge today is to ask God to give us more insight, not less of it. Our encouragement today is that we would follow Christ. Follow Christ. Christ and him crucified. In Ephesians 1 verse 17, I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's a prayer that we can pray for one another, isn't it? So if you want to see more spiritually, you can pray this prayer for yourself. If you want your family members, your loved ones, to see more of Christ or to see God through the eyes of Christ, then you can pray this prayer. If you want to know what God wants for you and for those around you, pray this prayer. So let me pray it for us. So that we can get it into our hearts. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. See, the more we get to know God through the revelation of his word, the more we will see. That we will see that there's a pit and we won't fall into it. Why? Because our eyes will be fully opened. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And this is why I emphasize that it's not just talking, but the Bible don't just talk about natural sight. It talks about spiritual sight. And I want to suggest to you that Jesus speaks of spiritual sight more than he does of natural sight. Yes, he lay hands on the sick and they recover. The blind sees, they see naturally, but they also see spiritually. And there are many people that will be healed naturally by the supernatural, but they still won't follow God. I gave you illustrations of the blind men who were touched naturally by the supernatural power of God, and yet they recognized who God was before they received their natural sight and immediately followed him. That's what we're praying for our friends and our neighbors and our families, aren't we? Yes, we are. Amen to that. So I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And that's a prayer for me and you. Lord, I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which he has called me. I've changed the eyes, the use to the eyes. It says, in order that you may know the hope. Paul is praying for others. I'm saying we can pray for ourselves as well as others. Just change one word from you to I, in order that I may know the hope to which he has called me, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And I want to know his incomparably great power for me, who believe. That power, God's power, is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. In 21 it says, "Is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. Every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and appointed Jesus to be the head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Jesus is the head. He sees, he hears, he speaks. And we have an opportunity to receive afresh that revelation of what God has given us. Mighty power, mighty strength, the things to bind and to loose, the things that we see in the natural and the things that we see in the spiritual. How good is your eyesight, and who are you following? My final scripture is in Matthew, and I'll leave you with this. Let me go up. Matthew 4 verse 18 I'll start from. I'll just read these three scriptures and then we'll close. "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Now, they didn't analyze it. Who is this man? They didn't just look with their natural eyes. They couldn't have done. There are many rabbis around in those days that were respected by ordinary individual people. And those that really were good at understanding and translating the Torah, they would follow a rabbi, a teacher, and they would learn from him. And those that didn't quite cut the mustard, as they say, weren't quite good enough, many of them went to their family occupations. And it was with these. They were fishermen. They were tradesmen. They learned to work with their hands. And Jesus said to them, those that didn't quite cut the grade, he said, "Come follow me. Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. They could see something within Jesus spiritually. So my challenge to you today is, do you see what God wants you to see spiritually? If you don't, let's pray for more revelation of God. Let's pray that God will open our eyes, because it's not wrong to do the things that we do. It's not wrong, but it is wrong, if that makes the right word, to ignore what God is showing us. It is wrong, or unhealthy, should I say, to not respond when God speaks. So we can pray. Yes, we can pray for God's revelation. Yes, we can pray saying that God has empowered us. We can believe that, can't we? If we've seen with our eyes and heard with our ears and we follow Christ, then he's not going to lead us down a dark alley. He's going to lead us into light, isn't he? Yes, he is. He's going to give us more revelation. He's going to give us the opportunity to use the faith that we have. He's going to give us the opportunity to see the power that he entrusts us with being used in a greater measure. Yes, he is. You and I, we are the bride of Christ. We are the very thing that Jesus came to liberate. We were once blind, but now we can see. We were once deaf, but now we can hear. We were once lost and following the wrong people. Now we're following the right Saviour. So let's pray as we conclude this message. Be encouraged, church. Be challenged. Ask God to show you more. React to what he shows you. Ask him to interject with the areas of life where you need to stop following certain things and certain people, reading certain books, watching certain programs. I know for Susan and I, we get challenged by that on a regular basis. But to follow Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us eyes to see and you've given us ears to hear. Thank you, Lord, that we are part of the body. We thank you, Lord, that you are the head. Lead us that we may follow. Speak to us that we may hear you. Reveal to us so we may see your revelation. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.